We talked about Fireproof. They also did Facing the Giants and Flywheel. What is that about? Well, those are three Christian films that, believe it or not, since 2 days ago, I was able to see all three of them. I'll tell you that story in a minute. And yesterday we talked at some length on Fireproof. Today we're going to talk at some length on Facing the Giants and Flywheel. But it's Open Mic Friday, which means, like yesterday where we had over a dozen callers, you can also phone in, interrupt me, and talk on any subject. Today, though, you don't have to stay on Fireproof like we were talking about. Today is Friday, July the 10th, and I'm getting ready to fly off to Los Angeles, and I'll talk a little bit about that. But numbers to call in on any spiritual subject at all, 505-7850. That's in the St. Louis area. Toll free, 1-800-730-2727. And then our in-studio email is lawgospel@kfuo.org. The three films I talked about, Fireproof, Facing the Giants, and Flywheel, were actually done in reverse order. Flywheel was done first, then Facing the Giants and Fireproof, and they were done by the Kendrick brothers. One of them is a Baptist pastor, and in fact, they were kind of done. Shiloh Christian Academy. That's right, and I believe that's in Georgia. It's called Sherwood Pictures, and the Kendrick Brothers production. And I really didn't know that much about them, except that they had started off with a movie called Flywheel, and then they did Facing the Giants, and then Fireproof. Flywheel was done with a budget of $20,000. Let me just kind of describe quickly what these three films are about, because they all have a similar theme. They just have different kinds of a background. A Flywheel is about a used car salesman who really is quite a manipulator and comes to faith in Christ and everything changes. That's what Flywheel is about. And why do they call it Flywheel? Because he's trying to put together a Triumph. That's an old car, and it's an old car, and it's missing its flywheel. And they go ahead and they find a flywheel for it, which is kind of interesting. This was out of Sherwood Baptist Church in Albany, Georgia. The car is a Triumph TR3. And he finally comes to an understanding that all his cheating as a used car salesman, etc., isn't getting anywhere. He's having problems at home, at church. And so he gives his life over to Jesus. And, of course, everything goes swimmingly smooth through the rest of the movie. There are a couple of little problems, but God quickly takes care of that. Facing the Giants is the same actor, I believe. One of the Kendrick brothers, and he is got a football team he's been at for 6 years. They've never had a winning season, and to make a long story short, he comes to faith in Christ, and guess what? He also ends up getting in the situation where the team wins quite a bit. They have their best winning season ever. Don't want to tell you too much of the story. Fireproof is about a young man who's really having trouble in his marriage. He's a fireman, and he's bawling out one of the other firemen who had left his partner. He said, "You never leave your partner, especially in a fire." But that's what exactly he was doing with his wife, leaving her. And so once more, similar theme, comes to faith in Jesus Christ. And then, wow, guess what? They have everything go swimmingly smooth in their life. Now, all three films, by the way, have been picked up by Sony, at least in selling the DVDs, and I know they've made, among all three of them, over $40 or $50 million, much of that money going back to the church which is, of course, the one that these two young men are members of in Georgia. So that's basically the story. Flywheel, facing the Giants, and fireproof. Hadn't realized that they all start with the letter F. Facing the Giants, by the way, is a football team, of course, that goes on to really do well. And the last team they play that's won the last three state championships is called the Giants. And, of course, you can probably guess what happens with the help of God. Now, I rated fireproof on a scale of 1 to 10 at 9.6 because I didn't feel there was that much of a problem in it at all, hardly. It had a few little lines about giving my life over to Jesus and this sort of thing, but that can be somewhat understood in the life of sanctification. In the sanctified life, that is a response to what God has given you totally, and so you do make choices there as to whether or not, if you're a used car salesman, whether or not you're going to get the most amount of money from somebody, even though it's way over book value, and not tell them everything about the car. For example, there was some apparent damage done to the car, and he was asked, was it ever in an accident? And he said, no, it was just some touch-up paint we put on it. And it really had been in an accident. So he was a liar, he was a schemer, and Christ brought him around. Now, there's a number of themes in Facing the Giants and Fireproof that were not, in Facing the Giants and Flywheel that was not evident in Fireproof. Some things that were said here that I would really question. For example, they use Bible verses like they're a losing football team, and they say, if you delight in the world, he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, they don't mean that means they're going to win, because one of the good balancing acts they do is that whether we win or whether we lose, we will worship the Lord. So that's very good, although it's kind of obvious when the guys are losing, they're not very happy. They don't look like they're worshiping the Lord. But one of the individuals has a prayer when the used car salesman comes over to Christ, and he says, we thank you, Lord, that he decided to make Jesus Lord of his life. I thank you, Lord, that he turned his heart to you and that you would rain down on him favor so that he may know you love him. Now, this is called the theology of glory, and it's often missed by people because it sounds so nice, and because that's how it works in the real world, or shall I say, the temporal world. How do you know somebody really loves you? Because they do nice things for you. And so when a husband is trying to make up to his wife, or vice versa, or a child to the parents, or vice versa, or an employee to an employer, or vice versa, they tend to want to give something. They want to apologize, and they want to give something. Now, is it wrong to do that? No, it's not. For example, the used car salesman not only repents of his evil ways, but he goes back over his records and finds out how much more money he made than he should have. It came to about $35,000. In fact, it's... even better than that, it comes to $39,123.50. And he says, I just can't give that back, you know, because we won't have anything. Now, he's not sure how much they made in profits, but his wife says, you've got to see this. And she has just added up the profits that he had made, and guess what it was? It was $39,123.50. So he does give it all back. And, of course, even more people come and buy cars, so that amount that he lost is replaced pretty quickly. There's a view of God here that simply is unrealistic. Maybe if you're living in the suburbs, maybe if you have a half-decent family and a nice house. I mean, the house they lived in, which they were having trouble paying for, was really a nice house. And you just begin to wonder, you know, what's the message here? Well, the message, unfortunately, in Flywheel and to a great degree also in Facing the Giants, which I didn't find as clearly in Fireproof, is that, you know, once you make Jesus Lord of your life, then he will give you the desires of your heart. And in fact, somebody said to him later in the movie, this was to the used car salesman, God has blessed you because of your obedience and faithfulness. Now, that is about as contrary to the Bible as you can find. What? What are you talking about? Well, what I'm talking about is we don't have that kind of a God who blesses you because of your obedience and faithfulness. Let me simply ask you this question. When the Apostle Paul was converted on the road to Damascus, what was that a wonderful blessing from God? Well, yes. On the basis of what obedience and faithfulness on the part of Paul did God do this? No, there was no faithfulness or obedience. He was actually killing Christians. Stephen was the first one in which he participated in the murder. See, we have a God who is gracious in a way that no other religion speaks of graciousness. He doesn't go quick, quote, pro, whatever that is, namely, you do something, he does something. He does something when you do nothing. In fact, he does something when what you do is evil against him. While you were yet his enemies, he died for you. From the cross comes the words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. The point I'm trying to make here is, do you really want a God who will delight in you when you and bless you when you are obedient and faithful? Because if you have that view of God, you're in big trouble. You're in big trouble. Because what happens on those days when it appears that you're not being blessed by God? Well, you know what you're going to hear. Well, his delight is not in you. See, this is a fine line to walk in the area of sanctification. On the one hand, the Christian does desire to be obedient and faithful. But if that desire is on the basis of getting more blessings, then that obedience and faithfulness on your part is actually sin in God's eyes. How so? Well, because while you can get a promotion from your boss when you are obedient and faithful to your work, because that's the way it works in the temporal realm, in the spiritual realm, it doesn't work that way. God loves you first before you love him. God is faithful to you first before you are faithful to him. So any type of connecting your works, your faithfulness, your attitude, your choices to your becoming saved and God delighting in you takes away from the cross of Christ. The only reason God delights in you is because of the cross of Christ. Because when he now sees you who trust in Jesus, there is no sin and there is absolute perfection. Now, that really seems odd that a religion would teach that, because it certainly doesn't agree with common sense. It certainly doesn't agree with our experience in the temporal world. It certainly doesn't agree with our reason. Everything is backwards, but that's the way it is with God. Everything is backwards. So the way we normally think is just the very opposite. And unfortunately, particularly in Flywheel and to a lesser degree in Facing the Giants, that there was this constant theme here that you're really dealing with something that you can control if you're only faithful and obedient. Things are really going to work out. It's kind of, and even though it's a Baptist church, it's almost like the word faith movement. And what's the word faith movement, which is a heresy, is that the stronger your faith is, the more able you are able to move a mountain, and therefore you can just about pretty well handle everything with the help of God, because as strong as your faith is, God will have all kinds of miracles occur in your life. Now, I don't know if you know people like this, but I know people who, boy, one thing after the other, they're just failing all the time. Things are always going wrong. One thing after the other happens. Yeah, I was talking to somebody on the phone yesterday. And first of all, the car wouldn't start. Then when it did start, the battery died out. Then this person attempted to send some emails, and they all came back. They were wrongly addressed. So she finally got them sent properly. And the problem was it was her first draft that she had corrected that went out, not her second draft that was corrected. And one thing after the other, she was just having a bad hair day. It was really kind of comical. Because she was laughing about it because the day before everything had gone quite well. And I think particularly she may have had that bad hair day so that I could say, look it, are we saying that God's attitude towards her changed on Thursday when it was real nice on Wednesday, but on Thursday things weren't going well? You cannot judge whether you are faithful and obedient to God by how many miracles are happening in your life or how many things are working out. Our numbers here are 505-7850. This is Open Mic Friday, so you can phone in, talk about this or anything else on your mind. Long distance, 1-800-730-2727. Let's go talk to Linda. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Pastor. Well, on the other hand, you know, you're talking about God's blessings. And like yesterday, I mailed off my offering to the KFUO for, you know, I over the month, the Lord gives me enough that I give a certain amount every month. And so I think, like today, you know, my boss, she hands me the very amount that I sent off to you yesterday for doing something for her. And I've seen that happen before, even before I send it off, if I'm a little behind in what I want to give. And it's like when the Lord wants a good ministry to keep going, he will provide the way for the listeners to support it. And in that way, he does bless, like, the ministry of KFUO. He will keep it going. And I just see miracles when, you know, that, you know, like our church is small, and there for a while I didn't send in because there were so few of us trying to keep our church going. And I thought, no, this is too important. This is a very, you know, the KFUO is the only media which doesn't have propaganda. We saw that last week, like Arthur was saying. That is media propaganda when they tell us what we should think, and they put it in our minds. And you are the only media that we have that is pure and for the Lord. And
well, let me ask you two questions. Number one, how come you don't read that the money you got, the Lord really wanted to give you double, and you should send that too?
Well, I do. I've got it in my pocket for next month.
Next month.
Maybe.
See, you're waiting next month.
Maybe next month I won't have it. So you give it to me ahead of time. But okay. I put it back for next month, you know.
Okay, well,
I should send it right this month, too.
Oh. Well, if I said that, then I've turned into...
next month.
No, then you can't say we're not doing propaganda.
No.
Now, here's my more important question.
Yeah.
Had you not given the money to KFUO, would she have given you the money?
Well, I didn't look at it that way.
I'm asking that.
So obvious that it was the Lord. He's saying, you know, here's for next month or now, maybe. I don't know.
Well, see, I had some money come in unexpectedly, and I can't remember giving anything more to church or KFUO or anything like that. How I read that?
I guess it's because that's the way I do it. I think I give up stuff, these little bitty things, and I feel like, you know, and I work every day. Well, I work 4 days a week. My goal for working is to help my church and KFUO, and I pray for you, and I think,
yes,
you know.
Well, the point I'm making here,
it's a partnership because I see him handing me this amount, and maybe he'll give me more in the future that I can give you, you know.
Boy, I wish we weren't on the air right now, because, see, I would ask you not to give anything next month and see if you still get blessed.
Well, it would hurt my heart, you know.
Well, then that's a blessing. See, because a lot of people, it wouldn't, because they could use it for something else. See, here's my point, Linda. He's going to bless you whether you give or not.
Well, I know, but doesn't it seem like he wants KFUO to keep going because he keeps...
Oh, no, there's no doubt about that in my mind, yeah. You know. But on the other hand, through eyes of faith, let me just say this, and you tell me if you agree or not. Somebody else looking at that situation, they don't see God there at all. But when we have eyes of faith, we see all kinds of areas where God is specifically involved in doing things. See, and that's really because of the eyes of faith. Now, I haven't had that experience. Now, I don't know if you heard me on Flywheel, but he needed $39,123.50, and that is the exact amount, at least in the movie, that he had made in profits that week.
Oh, I didn't hear that part.
Yeah, it was exactly the same amount, you know.
And that's what I was thinking when my boss handed me that. I said, listen, you don't have to do that. She said, no, you take that. And when I looked at what it was what I sent you.
Okay, now.
I try to send every month.
Now I'm going to say what they said in the movie, and you tell me whether or not you would agree with that in your case. One of his friends looked at him, and he said, God has blessed you because of your obedience and faithfulness.
No, I think.
Oh, okay, now see, now that's.
Me so I can keep, so I can help KFUO. He's blessing KFUO through his. People,
yes, yes,
right?
Yes.
Not me, but, and if I took that and spent it on me, I wouldn't enjoy what I was spending it on because...
No, I understand, but on the other hand, boy, if you've got a God that works like this, why don't you borrow like $10,000 and give it to us and then fully expect it to get it back from somebody else?
No, you know, that's why...
Now, why not? Because, see, a lot of, when people hear you say that, they're... Now, and that's why I asked you the question. You do not think that you were blessed because of your obedience and faithfulness.
No.
Because you know that God's running the verbs. But yeah. You see, some people get under that impression when they hear something like that and say, oh, boy, now I need to give to church because once I give to church, then things are going to work out a lot better.
Oh, no.
Okay, good point.
I'm not, see, the way I do this, and this is why I'm telling other listeners, if they're having a struggle helping with this ministry, which we need, this is why I'm saying it like this. I say, Lord, you know, show me ways where I can cut corners this month, things I don't need, but I do need KFUO. And you know, a dollar here, a dollar there, and when it's time, I've got my little amount. It's not a lot, but I'm saying it's not paying it forward. It's... He puts it in your hand and you
right.
Send it.
No,
I got it for next month now.
All right, and I appreciate your balanced view, and that's the point we were moving towards.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Linda.
Bless you.
God bless, and look forward to others sharing their gifts with KFUO. We'll be right back after the break.
Well, it was a bit of an interesting Bible study earlier today. We were in Leviticus chapter 25. There's a section in that chapter where it says, on the Day of Atonement you shall sound the trumpet throughout all your land. So that's what Pastor Michael Walther did. He brought his shofar and blew it on the Bible study. You can hear that repeat tonight at 6:05.
The Bible study on AM 850 KFUO is underwritten by Concordia Christian Books and Gifts, serving God's people.
Caring for an aging parent is a responsibility, and most people aren't fully prepared for that task. On the next Focus on the Family, Dr. James Dobson presents a message by Mrs. Grace Chavis, who invited her parents to move in with her when she was 73 years old. Mrs. Chavis has practical advice for caring for elderly parents on the next Focus on the Family.
Weekdays at 9:30 on AM 850 KFUO.
This is Dr. Bill Meyer with the James Dobson Family Minute. Even at our worst, God still offers forgiveness. Here's my colleague, Dr. James Dobson.
Some people may think, I've done these horrible things. God could not forgive me. And some of them say, let me clean up my life first, and then I'll be acceptable to the Lord. Well, let me speak directly to that person. God wants you now. The Apostle Paul was instrumental in the murder of Christians before Jesus spoke to him on the road to Damascus, and he became a believer. And I think that demonstrates that we can all be forgiven for what we've done.
The concept of God's forgiveness is difficult to understand and accept because we all know down deep inside we don't deserve it. Fortunately, God's grace isn't based on our actions or behavior or our attempts at being good. It's based solely on His kindness and His desire to have a relationship with us. For help with your spiritual journey, log on to FocusOnTheFamily.com.
Well, Buzz, I'm going to be taking a little bit of time off. Diane is still gone up in Minnesota enjoying her vacation. I get to stay home and paint my garage. That'll be a thrill. You can handle this in my absence, can't you?
I think we can figure out how to push a few buttons so that you and Diane and some of the best guests that we've had on recently in the afternoon show are on the air.
Well, we'll return live on July 13th. That's Monday with new programming, guests in studio. That's the afternoon show at 3:05 Monday through Friday on AM 850 KFUO.
How would you like to give a gift to AM 850 KFUO Radio and a gift to your children at the same time? Sound too good to be true? It's not. You can, and KFUO's gift planning staff can show you how. Many people have benefited from this wonderful form of estate planning. Now, if you'd like more information, contact Dorothy Kessner at AM 850 KFUO Radio. Worldwide, AM 850 KFUO.
Discover the power of plants at the Healthy You, Healthy Planet Festival, presented by Missouri Botanical Garden, 4344 Shaw Boulevard. It's a day dedicated to good health, green living, and great fun. Learn about the connection between plants, the environment, and our health. Doctors and health experts will be on hand with information, and kids will learn fun ways of being fit. The Healthy You, Healthy Planet Festival is Saturday, July 18th, from 8 till 3. It's included in the garden admission. For information, see mobot.org.
Summertime is time to play safely in the sun. Summertime can also be deadly without an air conditioner or electricity. Take a few moments to check on elderly and disabled neighbors.
Help cool down St. Louis.
We need new and used air conditioners.
Or make a donation to Cool Down St. Louis in care of UMB Bank, P.O. Box 868, St. Louis, Missouri 63188, or cooldownstlouis.org.
Tom Baker, Law Gospel here. I want to kind of respond a little bit to what Linda was saying, that she had given some money to KFUO, and then the next day, surprisingly, where she works, she got the same amount as a kind of a bonus. But she made a very clear point that contradicts the movie Flywheel, in which somebody said, God has blessed you because of your obedience and faithfulness. And she wouldn't want to say that, and I really agree with her there. So we need to make a distinction. Remember, theology is the art of making distinctions. Why do you get these interesting blessings? And through eyes of faith, you should be seeing them happening every day. What? I don't get a miracle happening every day. Well, I sure do. For example, yesterday, after talking about the film Fireproof, somebody had called in and said, wow, Facing the Giants and Flywheel, their other two films are not near as good. And you'll remember I said on the radio then, well, maybe I need to see those also before I go to Los Angeles this weekend to talk to the actors and writers of this new movie, Gladiator. And so I decided to go to Best Buy on the way home, and I stopped there and I said, do you have Facing the Giants and Flywheel? And he looked it up on his computer. He says, we sell all three of them, Fireproof, Facing the Giants, and Flywheel, for $45. And I had just had my wife buy Fireproof, so and we had paid $20 there, but I want two copies. But I still wanted to see it, so I said, well, where is it? And he says, oh, we're all out of it. You have to order it online. Oh. So on the way out, there was an Office Depot there. And I had to get a little hard drive that I'm taking on the trip with me. So in case my computer gets lost or broken, any other computer can do these PowerPoints that I'm going to be doing. And I wanted to put everything on there. And I needed a larger one, 16 megabytes, and it was on sale $40 off. So it was only like $40, really a good deal. So I walked into Office Depot, and I indicated, before I asked them about this hard drive I needed, I said, by the way, do you sell DVDs? And I fully expected him to say no. He says, well, yes, we've got a rack over there. And I looked behind me, and there was one of those racks where they have, you see them at Walmart every now and then, where there's like 20 DVDs on the front and 20 on the back, and that's all they had. So I went over there, and, you know, I thought, well, let me just look through and see if they've got Fireproof, Facing the Giants, or Flywheel. And, folks, I couldn't believe it. There, at the very bottom, was both Facing the Giants and Flywheel for $10 each. For $9.99, in fact. I couldn't believe it. So I bought them. I saved myself, well, $25 than getting them from Best Buy. And I just couldn't believe it. And I went home, and last evening, I looked at both of them. I've got notes here on it, etc. Because I wanted to see what they were doing. And I kind of agree with our caller yesterday that those two aren't as good theologically as Fireproof is. However, getting back to Linda's point, why did that happen? You see, I'm going to be in a lot better shape in talking about the new movie Gladiator that this group is putting out, because I was able to see Flywheel and Facing the Giants. I got a lot more insight into how they're doing this. And I still think it's going to be really something to beat out Fireproof, because that is just an excellent movie. I really like Fireproof. Whether Gladiator is going to be able to do that. Gladiator is in a little different situation. It's not a fireman. It's not football. It's not a used car salesman. It's a baseball player. That's the theme of that one. And the theme is different, and that's what I learned by looking at each of these. Each of these have a different, like Fireproof, it's a breakup of a marriage. It's really important. Facing the Giants, it's the whole thing about a person not feeling worthy to coach a team and doesn't have the wherewithal, and people are trying to fire him in the background. And Flywheel is the way we manipulate people in the business world. Well, what's Gladiator? Well, Gladiator, I'm going to suggest the main theme for this film is a question that's asked by almost everybody in the world, and that is, why is there so much suffering in the world? Because in Gladiator, the parents of the main character are killed in a car accident the day that he is to sign up in the major leagues, and that just really puts his life out of joint. And so it's going to be kind of interesting talking with the actors and the writers. So keep me in your prayers. I leave right after the show. Go out to Los Angeles. I'm there all day with them on Saturday, perhaps Sunday night. And then on Sunday, I'm going to be in Redondo Beach. There's a congregation there where I'll be doing a seminar at 9:15. So if you're in that area, Redondo Beach, I believe the church is Emmanuel Lutheran Church. There's only one Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, in Redondo Beach. I'll be there at that time. And by the way, you would be welcome to come to a pilgrim in Santa Monica between 9:30 and 5 on Saturday. That's when we're going to be meeting with the folks. But if you'd like to sit in and listen, we're going to be doing some PowerPoint presentations and some other items. We'd love to have you there. That's at in Santa Monica, Pilgrim Lutheran Church. I think yesterday I called them Salem, and that was a mistake. It's Pilgrim. So this movie on Gladiator, we're going to try and put some Reformation themes in there. And it's really kind of obvious how they did that in the other three movies. They got religious themes in the movie during conversations between, say, a pastor and one of the characters, or a strong Christian and one of the characters, or a father and one of the characters who was a Christian. And it was really well done in the storyline. I know they indicated that Flywheel isn't as good a movie, and I'm not a analyst for movies. I'm not very good at telling whether it's good acting or not good acting. I kind of liked all three for storylines, but there was no doubt that the theology was improved after Flywheel, after Facing the Giants, and to Fireproof. If you'd like to call me, this is Open Mic Friday. You can talk about films that you've seen, or you can talk about the Gladiator one that we're going to be talking about. What kind of themes would you like to see in a movie where people are talking about, why does God allow such suffering? How would we develop that? And the numbers are 505-7850. That's here in the St. Louis area. Toll free is 1-800-730-2727. Now, in all three movies, there was the best part was the part on repentance. In Flywheel, for example, the used car salesman comes to an understanding where he says, I have been living for myself. And then the deepest level of repentance is, I've been in a mess and I cannot fix it. Now, you see, the law, when properly preached and used, when talking to an unbeliever, is number one, you are not meeting the requirements that God demands. Because he just doesn't demand a requirement. He demands perfection in that requirement, and none of us meet that. So if you ever hear a preaching of the law, and this is to unbelievers we're talking about, and salvation, and then the impression is given that an unbeliever can meet that requirement, you haven't heard Christian preaching. You're hearing something else. Because there is no requirement an unbeliever can meet in order to get right with God. He's saved by grace, not by merit. He's justified. And that term refers to the idea of God giving him a righteousness he does not deserve. So any sense of merit or anything like that, that's kind of a foolishness. All right, our phone number lines here are 505-7850. A toll free is 1-800-730-2727. And we're going to go back to the phone lines right now, and let's talk with Joe. Hi, Joe.
Hi. Got a question for you. Trying to develop the concept that somewhat what you're talking about, the idea that a believer or a human being, believer, not believer, whatever, in the context of our relationship to our Creator. If the relationship is not there, then, like you're talking about, the law will always end up as proving us to be
falling short of the glory of God.
Falling short. Very good. Thank you. As a believer in Christ, because of what he did, then we are credited with that, achieving that.
Yeah, that's
not of ourselves, but
that's good. We're credited with something that somebody else did for us.
Now, in Second Corinthians, first chapter, where it says that I'm summarizing, so I don't have it in front of me, but in Christ, all as many as are the promises of God, the answer is always yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm trying to show a stark contrast to like on the first commandment, I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of Israel. You'll have no other God before me. So apart from Christ, that is not, the answer is no. Like, that's not a promise. That's an indictment against the unbeliever.
Uh-huh.
But in Christ, then that is what we are. Like, we are his children. He is the Lord our God. and we have no other gods before him in Christ. Like, it becomes a promise in Christ, whereas outside of Christ, it's a judgment. That's my premise. I'm wanting to know your opinion on that. Like, do you think that's a worthwhile pursuit to try to show that contrast to specifically to people who are believers, but they misunderstand what it is that makes us right with God?
Let's read the verse first. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. Now, that's the verse you're talking about,
yes,
right?
That is it. That's correct.
Okay, and what's the specific question now, in light of having heard the verse now, you're asking?
That in the context of that relationship, the relationship that God creates between mankind and himself, the relationship that is rooted in Christ Jesus, that the promises of God, that the word of God, such as that first commandment, becomes a promise instead of an indictment, instead of a judgment against us.
Are you aware that the commandments are not in the imperative in Exodus 20?
It's because of what I mean, it was your show that got me thinking of this, of thinking of those as the words or the promises as opposed to the commandments.
Yes, here's what it is. I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, when you understand that, you will have no other gods. You will not take my name in vain. You will worship me. You will honor your father and mother because they're my representatives.
That's
so these
God
are
created us, or that's who God redeemed us to be. That's he's
exactly
who we are in Christ.
He redeemed us so that we can follow his will, but because of our old Adam, of course, we keep fighting against it.
Okay, so in the context of relationship, now we look to Christ, those things are yes. Now when we turn away from Christ, which we still do, the old man still fully rejects God. Like, with our back to God, that comes down as judgment. But with our face to God, which, again, the Holy Spirit does this, he turns us back to God, then it's a promise. Like, it depends on our perspective. Like, it all has to be in the context of relationship.
Well, there is no relationship between God and our old Adam. And, in fact, on Judgment Day, it will be totally destroyed. And this mortal will put on immortality, so that you're going to have a new man in Christ in the heavens that you don't have here on earth totally, but you're still here on earth. Look at Romans chapter 7, where Paul is having this fight with the things he doesn't want to do. The old man is actually an enemy. It's the personification of Satan within himself. And
right.
So therefore, God always says no to the old Adam, but he's always saying yes to the new man.
So to demonstrate, like, how long God... Okay, so... You know, we understand all this, and then we say, so what does this do for us every day? And that's what, to illustrate that the old man has to die, has to be buried with Christ, completely destroyed, that there is no hope there, that, you know, if the relationship doesn't exist, again, like the entire goal of God is to reconnect the relationship that was broken in Adam.
And would you agree that, like in Flywheel, this is how he dies when he confesses, I have been living for myself, I'm in a mess, and I cannot fix it?
That's what I think the law, when the Spirit
yes.
brings us to that point.
That's right.
But that's like, it's not, I think there's an element in people thinking that this is a one-time event.
No, it's a constant every day.
And that's what, like, to show that the Word of God, it both kills and makes alive. That this is an ongoing, you know, that the power for this creation, this new man, is through the Word, God's creative Word.
Yes.
And like, to use that first word, the first commandment, I guess that's what I was wondering. Like, I'm trying to illustrate this clearly, that you can see that from both sides, depending on where you are in Christ or outside of Christ.
Well, you just quoted 1 Samuel 2:6. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up.
Through his word.
That's right. And the word there in John 1, in the beginning was the word, is none other than Jesus Christ himself. What you have in the Bible is the written word of the word, but the living word is what really saves us, not the Bible.
And that's where in Samuel, that word is alive because it does it to you and I today, just like it did to Samuel himself.
Law and gospel were as active in that day as they are today. That is correct. That's
well,
very good, Joe.
So, I mean, again, like, to tell you the truth, like, I run this stuff by you because I got opportunity to share these thoughts, and I don't want to be saying something that's, you know, spinning off into left field here.
Well, as a good teacher in training, that's why you listen to AM 850 KFUO, the programming here, and I hope that we're helping you to be able to do that.
So you think this concept
yes.
is worth pursuing?
It's worth pursuing for sure.
Thank you.
God
good
bless.
Good luck in California. Sounds like a great opportunity.
Yeah, I'll tell you all about it Tuesday.
Thank you.
I'm Tom Baker. You're listening to Law and Gospel here, and we're Open Mic Friday. We're going to go right on down the line. Let's talk to Jan. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Pastor.
Hi.
I've been saving up three questions for you.
Okay.
Okay. The first question is based on Amos chapter 7, verse 9. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. What's the deal with high places of Isaac? The second question has to do with Jesus' words in John 10, verses 7 through 9. He said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them." And finally, my third question has to do with a conversation a coworker and I were having.
Oh, really? Where you work?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I'm Lutheran. And he's Baptist.
Yes.
So, you know, of course we're going to have those kinds of conversations. And this question came up, and it's based on Genesis 6, verses 1 and 2. When man began to multiply on the face of the land and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of man were attractive. And my comment to him was that in this passage, I had always heard that this was to make a distinction between the godly descendants of Adam versus Cain's descendants.
Yes, I would normally think that it's talking about believers and unbelievers, yes.
Okay, and you know, he rejected that, and we got on this whole nother tangent about
like it was angels?
Right.
Evil angels. Yes, that is a theory, but there's no evidence anywhere else in the Bible that that interpretation is correct.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Nephilim, it sounds like it's just a separate group of folks. The Nephilim, it doesn't seem to say that the Nephilim are offsprings of these, of this sons of God and whatever.
Yes, yes. No, I understand what you're saying there. And it's just, it's an area where a lot of people have given all kinds of speculations here. But frankly, there's just not that much evidence of it. In fact, the phrase sons of God either is used to refer to angels or to human beings. Mm-hmm. And like in Job 1:6, it does refer to angels. And maybe also in Psalm 29, verse 1. But it's really an intermarriage and cohabitation between not angels and human beings, but between believers and unbelievers.
Believers and unbelievers. Yeah. Well, I'm glad I had that right.
Yes. Yeah, it probably refers to godly men and the daughters of men to sinful women. Interestingly, you know, they're not called daughters of God, but daughters of men.
Mm-hmm.
And probably from the wicked line of Cain. That's the normal interpretation here.
Right. So what do you think about the high places of Isaac? Is that similar to Baal? Or?
Well, actually, this was the center of religious and political pretension and of self-righteousness. And God is saying that that would be wiped out. Isaac, by the way, is a way of referring to Israel, and it's only found in Amos.
Huh.
That's really kind of interesting there.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, because I was getting ready to go into high weeds, because you remember when Jesus went and met the woman at the well.
Yes, the Samaritan woman, yes.
Samaritan woman. So I was thinking that it was like that. They were kind of outside of good information that the Israelites had gotten. And so they were saying, well, you know, at some point we'll be able to worship where? But that's not. Okay.
Yeah, no. This is definitely the high places of Isaac are, you know, the places where they thought that they could manipulate God, and just like the high places of the Pharisees in Jesus' day. And then you had the John 10 passage.
Mm-hmm.
And what was that one? Well, namely about I'm the door, those who come before me, the sheep did not hear them.
Right. So, you know, in another, I guess earlier in this chapter, Jesus makes the point that my sheep hear my voice. You know, we struggle with God's word in our own strength sometimes. And it's helpful to remember that the Holy Spirit gives us clarity as well as thoughtful, insightful, spirit-led creatures.
Well, remember, this comes right after the healing of the man born blind since birth.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets it. But then the Pharisees, they don't get it all. They remove him from the synagogue, and they ask Jesus, are we blind also? And Jesus says, if you were blind, you would have no sin, but now you say we see, your sin remains. Because they think they can see apart from Jesus. They're quite right with God.
Yeah.
So that's what he's referring to, is those kinds of people that are really thieves and robbers, and the true sheep do not listen to their voice. They listen to the voice of Jesus.
So it isn't a reference to prophets. And
No. It'd be in the context right there. He just is talking about these Pharisees. The conversation continues. See, the chapters in the Bible came much later. So verse 41, where he slams the Pharisees, he continues, most assuredly I say to you, and that would be a continuation of that conversation.
Thank you so much, Pastor.
Okay, and we'll be right back. We got somebody we're going to be talking to, hopefully. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel with Tom Baker, Monday through Friday at 1:05 p.m. on AM 850 KFUO. You can write Pastor Tom at AM 850 KFUO, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or at this email address, lawgospel@lawgospel.com.